This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
Sergeant Smith is down. Smith is down.
That's a clip from the beginning of The War Tapes, a new documentary filmed by soldiers in Iraq. The director of the film, Deborah Scranton, offered 180 soldiers in Charlie Company the chance to be given mini cameras so that they could film the war from their point of view. 10 soldiers said yes. My guests are two of them, Sergeants Zach Bozzi and Stephen Pink of the New Hampshire National Guard. They arrived in Iraq with their cameras in March 2004. They each mounted their cameras on their Humvees. Sergeant Bozzi is a Lebanese-born American who joined the Army and was deployed in Bosnia and Kosovo. Later, while in college, he joined the National Guard. Sergeant Pink joined the Guard to help pay for college. He's now a carpenter living in Cape Cod. The War Tapes won the Best International Documentary Award at the Tribeca Film Festival. Zach Bozzi, Stephen Pink, welcome to Fresh Air. We see in the war tapes the results of several IED explosions. You obviously spent a lot of time driving on roads that were mined with, that were set up with IEDs. What are you taught to look for?
Well, we're trained to look for foreign objects in the road that don't look like they should be there. Also, pavement that looks like it's been chipped away or broken up, boxes, just random things like that. And obviously abandoned vehicles are a huge caution and something that we certainly are aware of at all times. At the same rate, when you're traveling 65 miles an hour, with a convoy in tow, even though you've got three guys looking out at all times, there's some things that are just impossible to see. Plus, Iraq is completely littered with trash everywhere. So, what's an old cardboard box, may be just a cardboard box, but there also may be something inside there that's going to explode.
There are shots of casualties of IED explosions within the movie. I'm trying to remember if any of those shots are from either of your cameras.
Specialist Hillman, I believe you're talking about.
Right, one of the guys in my squad, he got a lot of shrapnel injuries to his face after an IED went off just beside his truck. I think that if it wasn't for the M1114 up-armored Humvee, which has 3-inch ballistic glass all around it and reinforced steel on all the doors, I think if it wasn't for that vehicle, we probably would have lost close to half the company to the IEDs. That windshield will stop a 50 caliber bullet, and it certainly did stop a lot of IED explosions from killing our guys.
How did you feel about having casualties captured on film in the movie The War Tapes?
I thought it was beneficial, not only for the film and for people to see what was going on, but also to get a soldier's account of what happened to him, hours after he got out of the cache, and, to just document the complete frustration by getting hit by an IED. It's so much different than getting engaged by the enemy with a weapon where you can see who's shooting at you and you can fire back and use the training that you have and the skill you have as a soldier to defeat the enemy. And against an IED, there's really not too much you can do except be completely frustrated and hope that you survive it.
Sergeant Stephen Pink, within the war tapes, you describe seeing a casualty whose flesh is being eaten by a stray dog. Would you describe what you're talking about?
Our platoon was assigned to assist the Marines on the outskirts of Fallujah during the offensive of November in 2004. One of the squads in our platoon was clearing buildings and encountered three insurgents inside the buildings, one of whom shot and wounded Sergeant Nathan Smith. And the squad pursued the insurgents, shot and killed all three of them, took their ammunition and their weapons. And after that, it was our squad's turn to come onto duty. We had 12-hour shifts. They evacuated Nathan, and our squad took over the scene. We finished clearing the buildings and basically kept an eye on the bodies until the tow tagger showed up to remove them. During that, you know, a stray dog came by and took bits of flesh that were kind of strewn around the area, and then, you know, kept going on. And I remember joking about it at one point, how you know, we're kind of getting the marine scraps out on the outskirts of the city, and you know, maybe this dog is getting our scraps. And I just thought, you know, to finally see, you know, dead insurgents who were definitely insurgents, who, you know, it was so difficult to distinguish who was who in many cases in Iraq, to finally see our enemy face to face and dead after, you know, after wounding one of our troops in our platoon, it was a rewarding feeling.
Sergeant Zach Bozzi, you describe in the war tapes that part of your mission was to escort and protect KBR, Kellogg Brown and Root, supply trucks. And these were, you know, KBR is a subsidiary of Halliburton, and this is a company that's a private military contractor, and part of their job is to supply the food and bring the food, prepare the food for the troops. What's a KBR mission like when it's your job to escort and protect the trucks?
Well, that was actually a fundamental part of our overall company mission in Iraq, escorting convoy trucks. Sometimes it was KBR trucks, sometimes it was what you call TCN trucks, third country national trucks, where the people driving them usually come from countries such as India, Pakistan, and Turkey. And we would escort the convoy from point A to point B. And the way that worked is, if there's just certain rules of engagement, I guess, we went by on a convoy mission. So if we got hit by an IED, we would just keep going. If the IED damaged one of the vehicles, we'd try to recover it on the spot. If not, we would call recovery assets. If we got engaged by insurgents using AKs and RPGs, our Humvees, also known as platforms, would engage insurgents. Basically, counter-ambush procedures, nothing too fancy. So that's pretty much how it worked. You know, a lot of times you'd have situations that just would come up out of the blue, that somebody would throw rocks, rock throwers. We had certain specific rules and engagement how to deal with that. Also, you know, one of our Humvees might break down, or one of those trucks might break down. Some of the frustrations I think you hear in the movies with the soldiers is when you had like TCN trucks, usually they're manned by non-Americans. They were really run down and in bad shape, and they would break down on us quite often. So sometimes you see the soldiers kind of venting off about that because, you know, whenever a truck breaks down, you're static. You're prime, rich target for the enemy to engage you when you're static. So it really is not in our best interest to go out there out of the wire with less than optimal trucks. But that being said, it's just amazing about how what you see on the road, how the soldiers react to kind of unforeseen situations. I mean, you get out there with a really bad truck, but then, you know, that's a great thing about the U.S. infantry soldier is, regardless of the obstacles, you adapt, you overcome, and you drive on with your mission till it's accomplished.
Stephen, what was your mission?
My mission was the same as Zach's. I had the same rank, and we spent the better part of the second half of the year in the same platoon. And it was convoy security, it was combat patrols, and it was manning a radio station. We also had some occasional missions that were different. We spent a few days escorting South Korean troops from southern Iraq in Scania all the way up to Erbil, which is in Kurdish country, and that was a four-day mission where we worked hand-in-hand with the South Korean troops. And that was an interesting mission and certainly one that I was glad to get because it was different from the monotony of what we were doing for a whole year. And also to go up to Kurdish country and see Erbil, which was basically a working Muslim city. Our rules of engagement were entirely different in Kurdish country. We really couldn't show much forms of aggression at all. Our weapons needed to be pointed up and away at all times. But for good reason, the threat level there was a lot lower, and it was really good to get a view of Muslim culture in an area that we didn't see anything like that before in our entire tour.
What did you think of the mission? I don't mean your individual missions, you know, but I mean the larger mission of the war, once you were there, Or did you not think about that a lot as a soldier?
Actually, I think you hit the nail right on the head. look, the Army, I think, always tells you what to do, and rightly so. If you, you know, the system would collapse otherwise. Soldiers can't cherry-pick their war. Otherwise, it would be like a militia or something. But the U.S. soldier is very complex and sophisticated, I think, and everyone had their views on it. Everyone had their 2 cents. No different than if you just get, 100 college kids together. I'm sure they have their different ideas about all sorts of things. But at the end of the day, again, it's the behavior that counts, not yes, people had different political perspectives, but as professionally speaking, everyone did their mission. Was there a little bit of cynicism? Yes, I think it comes through in the movie. Was there, you know, but the morale, I think, and professionalism was always of the highest order.
Sergeant Zach Bozzi, you were born in Lebanon, where you lived for the first, 8 or 10 years of your life?
Roughly speaking, yeah. I came here when I was roughly 8 or 9.
And you speak Arabic, and I believe you're of Muslim descent, Shiite Muslim. Do I have that right?
Yes, that's my, I was born into that and not really a religious person at all. But, yep, so I speak Arabic, just like, I guess, an American born in America would speak English, so.
So how did that affect your relationship with Iraqis, you know, and did you end up doing a lot of informal translating while you were there?
Yes, I did, actually. My language ability, in a way, was a vehicle for empathy and understanding, but also, more importantly, it was a vehicle that allowed me to do my mission better as an infantry sergeant, because in a regular situation, if you didn't know the language, you'd have maybe one interpreter with an entire squad, and usually he's attached to the squad leader. And so it would make communication, you know, a little more complicated. While for me, at least, it was, you know, one-on-one. I can speak with Iraqis, see what they need, see what we can do to solve the problem. Let's say a vehicle broke down, or we came upon an accident, or we're at a checkpoint. And it really, I thought it was a blessing, because I like to be in the middle of things, and I like to be involved in what's really happening. So sometimes it allowed me to do things above my rank, because you know, usually if you're just a regular sergeant, you're with your platform, the squad leader might set your Humvee or platform somewhere and pull security. In my case, he'd let me dismount and go with him and handle what's going on. So for a soldier that likes to be in the middle of the stuff, it really was a blessing. Sometimes, as you can see in the movie, it can be a bit frustrating having to be the messenger to deliver some, bad news to people. It can be a little taxing sometimes. But for the most part, I enjoyed it. It allowed me to do my mission better. It also allowed me to help Iraqis better.
Did you find, were there any times that fellow soldiers were saying derogatory things about Islam and not knowing perhaps that you were of, Islamic descent?
I'm not religious, so...
So it didn't matter to you one way or another?
No, I'm pretty thick-skinned. You know, being a Lebanese-American in this man's army for 8 years now, if you're not thick-skinned, you know, you would have been gone a long time ago.
What did you have to be thick-skinned about?
Well, you know, part of the esprit de corps, the cohesion that comes in an infantry outfit, is the joking, the bantering, the fooling around, and all that stuff. So, it's what makes a unit bond, is the fact that we all tease each other. So if somebody's short or has a funny last name, or we make fun of each other about these things. Trust me, I dish it out as well as I receive it. So I have no issue with it. Because at the end of the day, I know these soldiers, my fellow soldiers, are going to do their job, and they're going to have my back, and I'm going to have their back. And ultimately, that's what counts.
Now, there's a couple of scenes with your mother talking about you. And she describes you, she talks about having moved with you from Lebanon during the Civil War there. Mm-hmm. And she talks about one memory that she has of you when you were like 4 years old or something, and there's like fighting outside, and it's very unnerving to you as a four-year-old. And she talks about how so much she wanted you to take you out of this country that's torn by civil war and bring you to a safe place, and she manages to do that, and now she feels, but you've decided, you've voluntarily gone to one of the most unsafe places in the world. And I'm wondering if you've thought about that a lot, if you've thought about growing up in a country torn by civil war. Your family gets you out of there, and then you join the military and get sent to a place that, torn by
the
war.
The irony of it all, huh? Yes. Well, not really. I think. Yeah, not really. Not really that dramatic about this. Point is, I think part of my personality always have a soldier's personality. I was I was born in a country, a lot of civil war. Iraq was not the first time I've seen a car bomb go off or AKs going off and firefights and so on. But I think that helped me. I'm a fairly resilient person and thick-skinned, and it helped me do my job better. And whereas somebody else that hasn't experienced that stuff growing up might be very shocked to see it for the first time. And again, it wasn't my first deployment. When I was on active duty with the 101st Airborne Division, I deployed a couple times to Bosnia and Kosovo. So one thing I've seen a lot in my life is war. Unfortunately, also, it's going to be with us for a long time to come.
Sergeant Zach Bozzi, you signed up for another tour in the National Guard. Do I have that right?
Yes.
So do you want to go back to Iraq?
I've been 8 years. It's not something that does not suit your personality. I would have gotten out a long time ago. Like I said, it's something I like. My contract was up a few months upon my return from Iraq, which is last year. I went ahead and reenlisted. For the time being, I consider myself a career soldier in the National Guard. I plan on staying in. So that being said, if the order came down for me to deploy to anywhere in the world, and regardless of the dubious political context stateside, I would go. Like I said before to you, a lot of these things I do have very definite opinions on them politically, but professionally, I do my duty.
Yeah, in the movie you say, I love being a soldier. The only bad thing about the Army is that you can't pick your war.
And no, you can't. And nor should you be able to, because, like I said, then we'd be a bunch of Boy Scouts instead of soldiers.
Is this a war you would not have picked?
As a staff sergeant in the United States Army, I don't think it's up to me to pick or choose national security issues. If that's the case, I certainly wouldn't be here in the studio. I'd be somewhere in Washington.
I doubt you'd think this way, but I'm not a soldier, so that's why I think this way. This is why I'd never make a good soldier. Were you ever worried that the cameras that you had mounted on your Humvees would end up filming your own death or injury? It's probably something you can't even allow yourself to think about.
Well, it's funny. I've never thought about that. I never thought about that once before. There were several times where, I was frustrated with the camera, and several times I didn't bring it out with me at all. Although it was along for the ride for many of the times, there were several times when it wasn't. But as far as worrying about the camera, filming my own death, that just sounds graphic and, I don't know.
Yeah, Terry, you're on your own on that one.
Terry, that's a little morbid, don't you think?
I think maybe yes.
Wow. Don't give you a mini cam anytime soon.
don't give me a soldier's uniform, I think. I think there's a certain degree of worry and self-consciousness that you cannot have if you're a soldier.
Well, yeah, of course. I think if you focus too much on the possibilities of you dying gruesome and fiery death, you're probably not going to be able to do your job well, mm-hmm. especially as a sergeant, when you got men looking up to you, looking for guidance. And if you're worrying about your own well-being, then you're not going to be worrying about their well-being and, in a way, not doing your duty.
I remember several times just really being very concerned with my gunner, who was basically the most vulnerable one in the truck. My gunner happened to be fairly tall as well, and he spent a lot of time exposed. And I spent several times going through my head exactly what my actions were going to be and what we were going to do when my gunner got hit. It wasn't even a matter of if. It was a matter of when it happens. How am I going to react? How are we going to take care of the situation? And I played that through my head several times. Or if my driver were to get hit. Like Zach has been mentioning, when you're in a leadership role, your obligations change entirely, and your concern becomes not for just you, but for everyone that's below you, before you.
Well, thank you both so much, and best to you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
Sergeant Stephen Pink and Zach Bozzi shot much of the footage used in the new documentary, The War Tapes. It opens in New York Friday and will later open in other cities around the country.